Mahabharata, Chapter 66, Krishna's Mystic Power. From some way off, Yudhisthira heard the blast of Arjuna and Krishna's conch shells. Fearful that his brother might be in danger and signaling for help, he said to Satyaki, "O grandson of Sini, I think the hour has arrived when you must do the duty of a friend. You are wholly devoted to our welfare, and especially to Arjuna's. O hero, it is said that one who casts off his mortal frame while fighting for his friend's cause gets the same result as one who twice gives away the entire earth in charity. I think Arjuna may now need your help. He has single-handedly entered the Kaurava array. Please go to where he stands. There is no one else who can assist him better than you." Satyaki felt torn. Arjuna had specifically ordered him to remain by Yudhisthira's side and to follow his instructions. And now Yudhisthira was asking him to leave. What would happen if, while he was gone, Drona attacked and captured Yudhisthira? Arjuna would never forgive him. He revealed his doubts. "O Lord of the earth, there is nothing I would not do at your command. As you have rightly said, I am ever devoted to Arjuna's service. Thus I am ready to penetrate even into the ranks of heavenly hosts to assist that foremost of fighters. However, I must remind you of Arjuna's words to me today. Protect Yudhisthira until I return from slaying Jayadrath. How can I leave you? Surely Drona's threat still hangs over you, since he vowed to take you captive." Satyaki reassured Yudhisthira. "Arjuna could not possibly be in any danger, because he is with Krishna. Who among the Kauravas could even threaten him? Surely he has blown his conch after achieving a great victory. Probably he has come close to Jayadrath. I am sure Arjuna is well. But if you cannot dispel your anxiety, I will follow him. Nevertheless, without leaving you in the care of someone able to protect you from Drona, I cannot leave. Therefore, command me as you will, O King." Yudhisthira pointed to the many warriors surrounding him. Bhima, Drishtadyumna, the twins, Draupadi's sons, Ghatotkacha, and numerous others. They would surely be able to hold off Drona, should he attack. In any event, the preceptor was likely to be occupied in the attempt to protect Jayadrath. Seeing Yudhisthira's determination that he go after Arjuna, Satyaki felt impelled to leave. After all, what if the Pandava really did need help? Although it seemed unlikely that Arjuna was in trouble, Satyaki felt that if he did not follow him, he would be censured as a coward. Looking around at the Pandava warriors fighting near the king, he said, "In accordance with your order, I will depart. May good betide you, O King." Plunging into the hostile army, an ocean teeming with arrows, darts, and lances, "I will soon reach my teacher and render him whatever assistance he may require. Let your fear be dispelled." After going over to Bhima and asking him to take his place by Yudhisthira's side, Satyaki ordered his chariot to drive into the Kaurava array in Arjuna's wake. He soon saw the trail of carnage the Pandava had left behind. Fighting his way past the remaining troops, Satyaki encountered Kritavarma, and a terrible fight ensued between them. Satyaki fought intensely, determined to reach Arjuna as quickly as possible, and he soon overcame his opponent. Every Kaurava warrior who came against Satyaki was swiftly routed. Passing along Arjuna's path, he made rapid progress. Within an hour, he sighted Arjuna's chariot in the distance, its tall standard appearing high above the battlefield. Seeing this, he took out his conch shell and blew a great blast. Even after sending Satyaki to assist Arjuna, Yudhisthira was still apprehensive. He spoke with Bhima. "Out of my own anxiety, I have sent Sini's grandson into the hostile array formed by Drona. I now fear for both him and Arjuna. O mighty armed hero, you alone are capable of holding the enemy at bay. Therefore go swiftly after your brother and Satyaki. When you reach them and find them safe, let go a mighty roar. My mind will then be relieved. With you by their side, nothing will be impossible for Arjuna and his disciple. I will consider Jayadrath already slain." Bhima laughed. What danger can there be for Arjuna? But if it is your desire, then I will go after him. You will soon hear my shout. Let your mind be at ease. Before leaving, Bhima went over to Drishtadyumna and said, I'm now proceeding after my brother. Remembering Jonah's vow, stay close by the king's side. You were born for that Brahmin's destruction. In your presence, Yudhisthira can experience no danger. Reassured by Drishtadyumna, Bhima charged into the core of a ranks. Like Satyaki before him, he saw the slaughter that Arjuna had wreaked. Going along the track made by both Arjuna and Satyaki, his progress toward his brother was swift. He quickly overcame the fighters who challenged him, and soon reached his brother. Seeing Arjuna's standard at a distance, with Satyaki's chariot not far off, Bhima roared tremendously. Arjuna, who had already met Satyaki, heard his brother's roar and said to Krishna, Here now is the mighty Bhimasena. I do not see how the Kauravas will be able to protect Jayadrath from me when I am united with my brother in Satyaki. Arjuna had been surprised to see his disciple. At first he had reproached him, fearful for Yudhisthira's welfare, but Satyaki had reassured him that the king was protected. He saw that Drona was also tied up protecting Jayadrath, so there was no immediate danger for Yudhisthira. Arjuna had then embraced his beloved student, who had performed an amazing feat in passing through the Kauravas in such a short time. Praising his prowess, Arjuna told Satyaki to help him reach Jayadrath. Only 2 hours remained before sunset. Arjuna still had to overcome Karna, Ashvatthama, and other powerful Kauravas before he could reach Jayadrath. Doubtlessly, Drona himself would also fight to his full power to protect the Sindhu king. Duryodhan had recovered from his wounds and had come back to the fight with many of his brothers. All of them stood between Arjuna and Jayadrath. It was by no means certain that the Pandava would fulfill his vow. Now that Bhima had arrived, however, the Kauravas were shaking like a forest struck by a gale. Arjuna was bad enough, but when he fought with Bhima and Satyaki, no one would be able to stop him. The three Pandava heroes advanced toward the division which formed Jayadrath's last line of defense. Karna came forward to meet them, and Bhima challenged him. Karna rushed at him, furiously releasing hundreds of arrows. Warding off those shafts, Bhima replied with 100 of his own. Both warriors glared at each other with eyes like blazing coals. They circled one another in their chariots, their gaze fixed on the other, waiting for his move. The two antagonists suddenly began shooting showers of deadly arrows. Their bowstrings cracked like thunderclaps, and their arrows struck each other's armor with resounding thuds. Neither flinched under their opponent's attack, nor showed any quarter. The surrounding troops looked on in amazement. Some of them, seeing Karna's dazzling speed, considered Bhima doomed, while others, seeing Bhima's uncontrolled rage, felt that Karna's end had arrived. Bhima assailed Karna with all his power. He looked at him with unbridled contempt. Here was one of the prime causes of the Pandava's suffering. This was the one who had laughed in the dice game and ordered Draupadi to find another husband. Indeed, it had been he who had suggested she be disrobed. He had always conspired with the Kauravas to bring about the Pandava's downfall. His mocking words, as they left for the forest, still rang in Bhima's ears. Now at last he stood against him in battle. Fearlessly Bhima closed on Karna, stretching his golden bow back to his ear as he discharged his arrows. He sent so many shafts at his enemy that they screened him from view. Karna countered the attack and quickly emerged from the network of shafts. He pierced Bhima with 9 well-tempered steel arrows that flashed from his bow like lightning. Undaunted, Bhima went even closer to Karna, constantly releasing steel shafts that struck him in every part of his body. Intent on smashing Karna with his mace, the Pandava brought his chariot right up to him. As they came together, Bhima's black-hued horses mingled with the milk-white horses of his enemy. The great horses merged together like beautiful black and white clouds combining in the sky. The Kauravas cried out in anguish as they saw the furious Bhima resolved on Karna's destruction. The Pandava swung his mace, and Karna quickly countered with his own. The two maces collided with a shower of sparks and a sound that deafened the onlookers for some moments. Contending at close quarters, Bhima and Karna appeared like a couple of infuriated mountain lions fighting to the death. Their charioteers pulled back the horses, and the two chariots again broke apart. Both men again took up their bows and fired short shaft arrows and blazing darts at one another. As they circled each other, constantly discharging their weapons, they resembled two clouds discharging rain in the monsoon season. Their arrows, decked with gold, seemed like rows of maddened swans ranging through the heavens. Krishna and Arjuna both felt that a heavy burden had been placed on Bhima. The enraged Karna was a formidable foe. Although he had encountered the Pandavas on several occasions, he had never been in his present mood. Now he seemed like the Lord of Death, come for the destruction of all creatures. But Bhima skillfully held off his attack. Everyone cheered him as he countered Karna's innumerable arrows with his own. As Bhima and Karna battled, Arjuna and Satyaki maintained a ceaseless attack on the Kauravas. Elephants, horses, and men fell dead all around them, pierced by their irresistible shafts. Bhima suddenly cut Karna's bow in two parts with a razor-faced arrow. He then struck down one of his two charioteers and launched 50 straight-flying shafts at his immobilized foe. Karna shrugged off the arrows and took up a lance. Like Indra hurling his thunderbolt, he threw the lance with all his might at Bhima. Inlaid with gold and gems, it flew with a glaring brilliance, its tip emitting orange flames. Seeing it leave Karna's hand, Bhima took out 7 crescent-headed arrows and fired them in swift succession. They flew end to end and cut the lance into 8 pieces. With a further 20 shafts, Bhima then struck Karna on the chest and sent up a great roar. Without a second's delay, Karna took up and strung another bow. He released a dozen swift arrows while Bhima was fixing more shafts on his own bow. Even the celestials were surprised to witness Karna's deftness and skill. Moving his chariot rapidly from side to side, Bhima's charioteer, Vishok, evaded Karna's arrows, which whistled past the Pandava. The battle between the two heroes went on like a fight between two mighty elephants for the leadership of a herd. They assailed each other untiringly, roaring all the while. Sometimes they laughed, and sometimes they reproached one another, and sometimes they blew their conches. They flashed scornful glances at each other as they fought, each seeking victory over the other. Bhima once again cut apart Karna's bow, then immediately slew his 4 horses and his 2nd charioteer. Summoning all his strength, he sent a terrific downpour of arrows that completely enveloped Karna. His horses and charioteers slain, and himself struck everywhere and continuously, Karna was confounded and did not know what to do. Seeing his friend in such a predicament, Duryodhan commanded his brother, Durmukha, to rescue him. Braving Bhima's arrows, Durmukha raced over to Karna and quickly took him onto his chariot. But even as Karna leapt across to the chariot, Bhima killed Durmukha along with his charioteer and horses. Shocked, Karna quickly circumambulated the dead Kaurava and then ran across to another warrior's chariot. As a number of Duryodhan's other brothers came to his support, he resumed his assault on the Pandava. Smiling to see so many of his sworn enemies before him, Bhima fought with greater intensity. He killed another 3 Kaurava princes and yelled out his battle cry, making the rest of them shake with fear. In the distance, Yudhisthira heard the victorious shout and was relieved. Everything was clearly well with Arjuna and Bhima. So fierce was Bhima's attack that no one could stand before him. Another 4 of Dhritarashtra's sons were each killed by a single arrow from Bhima's bow. Finally, even Karna himself was overpowered and pierced by so many shafts that he turned and fled. Bhima fell upon the Kauravas with a manic fury. Targeting Duryodhan's brothers, he began slaying them, like a lion slaying deer. The Pandavas' arrows fell on the Kauravas like poisonous serpents. Remembering all the wrongs that they had committed against him and his brothers, he ruthlessly cut them down. As he ranged about the field, Bhima came upon Vikarna. He remembered how he had fearlessly spoken in Draupadi's defense during the dice game. The Pandavas knew that Vikarna felt general affection for them and supported their cause, even against his elder brother, but duty had ultimately compelled him to fight for Duryodhan. Bearing in mind his vow to kill all 100 brothers, as well as his duty as a Kshatriya, Bhima did not hesitate to attack Vikarna along with his brothers. With golden-winged shafts, he cut down the brothers, one after another. Finally, he slew Vikarna with 3 arrows. As the prince fell to earth, Bhima went over to him and circumambulated his body. He felt a twinge of sorrow, but thinking of the exalted destination he was sure to attain, he again became cheerful. That virtuous Kaurava hero had always performed his religious duties and had died in battle while facing his foes. Doubtlessly, he had gone to the celestial regions. After paying his last respects to Vikarna, Bhima again launched himself into the fight. Nearby, Satyaki was driving back Drona's troops, moving toward the preceptor himself, while Arjuna was pressing inexorably toward Jayadrath. Not much time now remained until sunset, and the 3 Pandava heroes fought to the extreme limits of their power. Duryodhan was grief-stricken. Bhima had just killed more than 30 of his brothers. He remembered Vidura's warnings. Why had he not heeded them? Surely Bhima was not human, nor was Arjuna. Both of them were annihilating his forces like Indra and Mahadev, wiping out the Asuras. And not far away, Satyaki was single-handedly destroying the Trigartha army. It seemed that all of the Pandava warriors were aided by divine power. Perhaps Krishna was indeed the Supreme Person. Duryodhan remembered the Danava's assurances. Even if those celestial beings were assisting him, it would prove to no avail against an enemy assisted by God himself. Despite the overwhelming odds, the Pandavas were steadily crushing his forces. The greatest fighters in the 3 worlds were among his army, but they could make no impression on the Pandavas. He too could do nothing, it seemed, even while clad in Indra's celestial armor. The prince looked at the sky. The sun was not far from the western horizon. Perhaps all was not yet lost. Arjuna still had to pass Drona and his son. If they were supported by other invincible Kaurava warriors, then Arjuna may well be thwarted. Duryodhan urged his charioteer to drive quickly to Drona. One last strategic effort was needed. He and the preceptor could form all the great fighters in the vicinity into a solid line to protect Jayadrath. Surely even Arjuna would not have enough time to fight his way past Drona, Kripa, Karna, Ashvatthama, Shalya, and a dozen other warriors, all standing together. As Duryodhan raced toward Drona, Satyaki fought with the powerful Kuru hero, Burisrava. As they encountered each other, both men bore in mind an old enmity between their fathers. Satyaki's father, Sini, had once defeated Somadatta, Burisrava's father, in a fight at Asvayamvara. Sini had dragged and kicked Somadatta in the presence of many kings. After this, Somadatta had pleased Lord Shiva and received a boon that his son would do the same to Sini's son. Now the 2 sons were meeting in battle for the first time. They traded arrows by the thousands, but neither could gain an advantage over the other. Both warriors hurled lances and javelins with all their power, but saw their opponent unfailingly cut them down with well-aimed arrows. Roaring like a couple of bulls, they contended at close quarters. Both men's horses and charioteers were slain, and their chariots smashed to pieces. the two dauntless fighters jumped clear of their broken chariots. They drew out their sky-blue swords from their jewel scabbards, holding bullhide shields inlaid with gold and silver carvings. They slowly circled one another. As they came together, they displayed various skillful motions, resembling a dance, and moving swiftly from side to side. They leapt into the air and swung their great swords, striking each other with all their power. The clash of their swords rang out across the battlefield. Sparks flew up as the weapons collided or fell upon the fighters' armors. Both warriors thrust and parried with a speed and skill that amazed the onlookers, who shouted out praise and encouragement to both men. Suddenly, with one mighty blow, both swords shattered. Throwing them aside, the two men fell to wrestling. They struck and seized each other, rolling about on the ground with grunts and roars. Displaying every kind of wrestling skill, they fought on, each determined to kill the other. Gradually, Satyaki tired. It had taken a superhuman effort to reach Arjuna, and that was now taking its toll. Bhrishrava saw his chance, and he seized his opponent's hair. Dragging him across the field, the Kuru warrior repeatedly kicked and punched him. Not far away, Krishna saw what was about to happen, and he said, "Quickly save your disciple who has become exhausted while fighting for your good. See now the danger he faces." Arjuna looked across at Satyaki. Bhrishrava had picked up a discarded sword and was raising it, ready to cut off his enemy's head. Seeing Satyaki's perilous position, Arjuna at once placed a razor-headed arrow on his bow. Releasing it with full force, he cut off Bhrishrava's arm, just as he brought down the sword. The arm, still clutching the sword, dropped to the earth like a five-hooded serpent falling from heaven. Bhrishrava, with blood spurting from his shoulder, looked around in anger and surprise. Who could have so flagrantly ignored the rules of combat? To attack an enemy without warning was unthinkable. Seeing Arjuna nearby, Bhrishrava realized it had been him. Shocked, he reproached the Pandava. "Alas, O son of Kunti, how could you perform such a cruel and heartless deed? You were not engaged with me, but you still covertly cut off my arm. Have you learned this from Drona, Kripa, or perhaps Indra? I think not, for none of those personalities could ever approve such an act. Nor could you, born in a noble line, have performed this mean deed out of your own accord. I think rather that this was done at the instigation of the deceitful Krishna. The Vrishnis are a race of low and mean-minded men, ever given to shameful conduct. Why have you chosen to befriend them, Arjuna? Just see the result." Moving closer to Bhrishrava, Arjuna called out, "It is evident that with the body's decay, the intellect also suffers. Since, O hero, you have directed so many useless reproaches at us. You know well that I am fully aware of the codes of conduct, as well as the meaning of all moral precepts. How could I commit a sinful act? Kshatriyas fight their foes while supported by their own men. Why then should I not protect Satyaki, who is fighting on my behalf, careless of even his own life? Indeed, it is my first duty to afford him protection. Had I stood by and watched you kill him, then I would have been guilty of sin." Bhrishrava dropped to his knees and held his wound. He listened in silence as Arjuna continued, "You were prepared to kill Satyaki when he was weaponless, fatigued, and fallen to the earth. Seeing this, I acted swiftly to save him. As Satyaki was unprepared for your assault, so you were unprepared for mine. You should not censure me. Rather, you should reproach yourself for failing to guard against an attack while standing on the battlefield. Tell me, O mighty armed warrior, how you would have acted toward your own dependent in such circumstances." Bhrishrava, whose lifeblood was quickly ebbing, made no reply. Deciding to give up his life while absorbed in mystic meditation, he used his left hand to spread out a bed of arrows. With difficulty, he gathered the shafts and placed them together in a makeshift seat. As he sat on the arrows, his eyes fixed on the sun, All the other warriors on the battlefield stop fighting out of respect. The Kauravas then rebuked Krishna and Arjuna. Unable to tolerate their abuse, Arjuna shouted back, "It is my solemn vow that no one on my side shall be slain as long as I am in a position to protect them. It is surely not right for you, or Bhurishrava, to condemn me for saving an unarmed man from an armed antagonist. But, O great heroes, who would not condemn the killing of the unarmed and carless Abhimanyu by a group of powerfully armed warriors standing on their chariots?" Bhurishrava remained silent. His anger had gone. He and Arjuna were friends from long ago, and hearing the Pandava's words, spoken without malice, he could see his own fault. Realizing that his destined end had arrived, he closed his eyes and fixed his mind on Lord Vishnu, preparing to observe the sacred Praya vow of meditating until death. Arjuna spoke again to the fallen Kuru fighter. "O Great One, the love I bear for you is equal to that I bear for my own brothers. With my permission, and also that of Krishna, go now to heaven." Krishna added, "You have been devoted to sacrifice and worship of the Supreme Lord. Therefore go to my kingdom, ablaze with effulgence and coveted even by Brahma. Assuming a spiritual form equal to my own, mount upon the back of Garuda, who will carry you to that eternal abode." As Krishna spoke, Satyaki recovered from his swoon and rose to his feet. Seeing his enemy seated nearby, he took up his discarded sword and rushed at him. As everyone present cried out to stop him, he swung the sword with all his strength and cut off Bhurishrava's head. There was shock silence. No one praised Satyaki for killing Bhurishrava, who had already been slain by Arjuna. Some of the Kaurava troops spoke among themselves. Satyaki was only the instrument, for this hero's end had surely been ordained by fate. The Creator himself has moved Satyaki to kill Bhurishrava, and we should not give way to anger, which is always the cause of man's grief. Others among the Kauravas, however, such as Duryodhan and Karna, rebuke Satyaki. Turning around with the bloodied sword still in his hand, Satyaki called out to them, "You sinful men can only speak of virtue, for your acts are never virtuous. Where was your righteousness when Abhimanyu was slain? I vowed long ago to slay any man who threw me down in battle and kicked me. I was always destined to kill Bhurishrava. It is the hand of fate that moves all men. Where is my fault? In ancient times, the sage Valmiki said, one should always act in battle in ways which give pain to the enemy." Everyone remained silent. None on either side considered Satyaki's act noble. They all praised Bhurishrava in their minds, for he had gone to the highest and most holy regions. They looked at his head lying on the ground, which, with its curling blue locks and eyes red like a pigeon's, was charming even in death. After a moment of respectful silence, the warriors on both sides blew their conches, and the battle began in earnest. Taking up the Gandiva, Arjuna said to Krishna, "Urge the horses on, O Madhava. The sun is fast falling toward the western hills. The Sindhu ruler is well protected by the foremost Kuru fighters. My task will not be easy. O mighty armed one, drive the horses in such a way that I may not be thwarted." Arjuna's chariot rushed off toward Jayadrath, whose standard was just visible beyond the thick array of Kaurava troops. At once Duryodhan, Karna, Shalya, Ashvatthama, Kripa, and Virasena attacked. They were all supported by tens of thousands of charioteers, horsemen, and elephants. All the warriors charged Arjuna like a stormy sea crashing onto the shore. With his razor-headed arrows, Arjuna at once severed the limbs of fighters all around him. As the sun assumed a crimson hue, he relentlessly slaughtered the Kaurava troops. Although they were being decimated, the Kauravas were cheered to see the sun almost on the horizon. Surely the Pandava would fail in his vow. Determined to hold Arjuna back, Kripa and Ashvatthama attacked him from both sides. They rained countless arrows on both him and Krishna. At the same time, Duryodhan, still encased in his impenetrable armor, assailed him from the front with Karna. From Arjuna's rear, Shalya roared out his challenge and immediately sent hundreds of shafts at him. Arjuna moved with blinding speed. Whirling about on the terrace of his chariot, he sent arrows at every one of his assailants. All of them were either pierced or had their bows shattered by Arjuna's shafts. Bhima again tackled Karna, and at the same time annihilated the troops surrounding him. Satyaki took on Shalya and Virasena, killing thousands of their soldiers. Arjuna slowly forced back the Kauravas who stood before him. Faced with an endless stream of blazing shafts, they struggled vainly to hold him in check. Both Ashvatthama and Kripa displayed masterful skills, but Arjuna checked every one of their weapons with his powerful arrows. He pierced his attackers with burning missiles launched from the Gandiva with all his power. The sky appeared as if illuminated by a constant shower of meteors. In his wrath, Arjuna resembled the eternal Lord Shiva slaying the Asuras with his divine Ajagara bow. Numerous monarchs and warriors came forward to attack Arjuna, clutching bows, lances, maces, and swords. Advancing furiously on the Pandava, they were destroyed in moments by his irresistible arrows. The twang of the Gandiva, continuously resounding, resembled the roar of clouds seen in the sky at the end of an epoch. Warriors were dispatched to death's kingdom by the tens of thousands. The Kauravas began to panic. They called to one another amid the confusion and carnage. Blood-spattered bodies lay everywhere in tangled and twisted heaps. The cries and moans of men, dying, mingled with the roars and battle cries of their surviving fighters. Wherever the warriors looked, they saw Arjuna's standard carving through their ranks. His snake-like arrows fell from the sky, as if rained down by Lord Indra himself. Even Drona, coming against Arjuna with all his strength, could not check him. He called out to his troops who were starting to flee, trying to rally them back to the battle. Less than half an hour remained until sunset. Drona ordered his son, Kripa, Karna, Shalya, Duryodhan, and a number of other Maharatha warriors to stand before Arjuna, who could now see Jayadrath. They all began hurling weapons at the Pandava, screening him from Jayadrath. Arjuna, although so close to his foe, began to despair. Only minutes remained till sunset, and he could hardly see Jayadrath, so thick was the shower of arrows, darts, and lances thrown by the Kaurava heroes. Krishna saw his friend's predicament. He raised his right hand, and immediately his Sudarshan Chakra appeared at the end of his outstretched finger. Throwing that disk, he covered the sun like an eclipse, and at once darkness enveloped the field. Thinking that the sun had set, the Kauravas cheered. Jayadrath was still alive. Now Arjuna would enter fire. Surely the war was over. Confounded, Arjuna looked around, but Krishna assured him, "O Partha, there is still time. Fix your eyes on the southern quarter where Jayadrath stands." The Kauravas have lowered their weapons, and the Sindhu ruler now stands unprotected. In a moment he will come before your sight. Place upon the Gandiva an arrow charged with Brahma's power, and sever his head. Arjuna immediately did as he was told. As he raised his bow with a brilliant golden shaft attached, Krishna said, "This monarch has received a boon from his father." The old Sindhu king, Vridakshatra, blessed him that whoever makes his head fall to the earth will himself die, his own head shattered in 100 pieces. I know that Vridakshatra now sits some miles from here, at Samant Panchaka lake, deep in meditation. Therefore empower your arrow to carry Jayadrath's head to his father's lap. After saying this, Krishna withdrew his chakra. Suddenly it was light again, the sun clearly visible just above the western horizon. Arjuna instantly released his arrow. It flew like a comet straight at Jayadrath, who was standing fearlessly on his chariot, caught unaware by the sudden reappearance of the sun. Severing his head from his neck, the arrow carried it high into the sky and out of sight of all the warriors. After traveling a great distance, it deposited the head on Vridakshatra's lap. Startled, the monarch quickly stood up. As his son's head fell to the ground, his own head broke into 100 pieces, and he fell dead. The Kauravas cried out in grief. They realized the darkness had been Krishna's illusion. Duryodhan fell to his knees in his chariot. He dropped his weapons, and hot tears flowed from his eyes. All of his warriors were struck dumb as they slowly left the battlefield. Overjoyed at the success of his friend, Krishna embraced Arjuna. By good fortune you have slain Jayadrath and his wretched father, a constant enemy of the gods. I did not think that even Kartikeya could have achieved this. You killed an entire Akshahini of soldiers. Your prowess resembles Rudra's. Today Duryodhan and his followers are surely realizing that their end is near. Still perspiring from his prodigious efforts, Arjuna smiled. By your favor only has all this been achieved, O Krishna. It is no wonder that one whom you support gains victory. Yudhisthira will surely regain his kingdom. My brothers and I are ever at your service. Krishna once again embraced Arjuna, and they then drove the chariot toward their camp. As they headed back, they surveyed the large number of warriors lying all over the field. The earth seemed to be filled with men, horses, elephants, and chariots. Thousands of servants and physicians came from the camps to tend the wounded, who lay moaning with arrows and lances protruding from their bodies. Millions of shining arrows were strewn across the ground, along with broken maces, swords, and armor. Bright gold ornaments gleamed amid fragments of shattered chariots. As darkness fell, the earth seemed as resplendent as the autumnal sky, studded with countless stars. Krishna blew his conch loudly, gladdening the hearts of the Pandava warriors. Reaching Yudhisthira, Arjuna folded his palms and worshipped him with a joyful heart. Yudhisthira dismounted from his chariot and embraced Arjuna with tears in his eyes. Krishna got down from the chariot and touched Yudhisthira's feet in respect. The Pandava king embraced him and said, O Govinda, it is by your grace alone that we stand victorious today. Our enemies are drowned in a sea of grief. Everything is certain for those whom you favor. Simply by seeking your shelter, one is assured of all good fortune. Those who desire to please you never meet with sin or reversal. Trembling with transcendent happiness, Yudhisthira went on praising Krishna for some time. When he had finished, Krishna replied, The wretched Jayadrath has been consumed by the fire of your anger. Duryodhan's vast and proud armies are gradually being annihilated, O Bharata. Having insulted and angered you, the low-minded Duryodhan faces destruction along with his followers. Those who have chosen to become your enemies are already defeated, although you bear no malice toward any living being. Bhima and Satyaki, their bodies covered with arrow wounds, came and stood before Arjuna. After embracing them both, Arjuna said tearfully, By good fortune do I see you both freed from the Kaurava ocean, in which Drona is an invincible alligator and Kritavarma an invincible shark. It was fortunate that you made Karna, Kripa, and Shalya flee. Both of you are as dear to me as my own life. With you as my support and protectors, I have no fear. The Pandavas headed joyfully back to their camp, blowing their conches and praised by bards and eulogists.